Medic to Medic is a charity based in the UK and New Zealand that supports healthcare students with academic potential but in need of funding support across Africa. Their chief executive and trustee is Dr. Tamsin Lilly, a fellow of the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care, and we spoke with her 2 years ago about her charity work. And it was fascinating to hear yet another story of an urgent care fellow utilising their medical training and urgent care flexibility to improve lives somewhere else on the planet. This week, we catch up with Tamsin again to see how things are going. And while this podcast this week might not be a clinical pearl, there is much to reflect upon what Tamsin has to say and the example she gives, which means that there is some useful continuing professional development considerations contained within. So welcome back to the podcast of the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose, and back in March of 2022, which seems a very long time ago now, you may recall that we chatted with Dr. Tamsin Lilly. At that time, we were in the midst of yet another wave of COVID, and she was calling in from Malawi. Today, though, I'm joined by Tamsin, and we're in the same room because she's now relocated back to New Zealand temporarily and is doing some work over here. So I thought it was a good time to catch up with her in person and to talk about what has she been up to and what's been happening with her medical charity, Medic to Medic, which we talked about last time. So, Tamsin, welcome back to New Zealand.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
A lot of water under the bridge since March of 2022. So,
yeah.
A fairly vague opening question. What's up with your charity at the moment? How are things going?
Yes, that's quite a open question for sure. Things are going well. We've had quite a eventful 12 months, did we say? So last year there was Cyclone Freddy, which swept through Malawi, Mozambique, and Madagascar. Sorry, the three M's. But it was particularly deadly for Malawi. It was where the most loss of life occurred. And unfortunately, one of our team passed away with her daughter. She was one of the first to die, which was a very tragic death. So kind of that pain was felt quite acutely by our team. And it was particularly challenging for me at that time because I was back in New Zealand working and then kind of managing the messages that were being received. It was quite difficult. So I ended up going back to Malawi quite quickly, quite a lot earlier than I had intended to for that year. And I was back out there for 9 months, from the end of March last year through to kind of late November that year as well. So it's definitely been sort of a roller coaster ride of emotions, I think, in the last 12 months, because it has been, I think, one of the most difficult things I've ever had to do was to meet her parents and her extended family and her remaining daughter. And I think it's amazing that sort of across cultures and language barriers, you can kind of be united in grief and how you kind of share that and support each other through that process was just incredibly hard, and particularly for our one kind of administrator left in the office. She was having sort of a very rough time coming to terms with what had happened, and her leadership during that time until I arrived was like we couldn't have done without her. So sort of those seeds of tragedy, I think, do solidify bonds between your team, and I think we're a lot closer now than we ever have been, having gone through that as a shared experience. An incredibly emotional year for us at our charity, which we're kind of just coming out of, looking towards the future.
And it surprised me, and I'm ashamed to admit that I wasn't aware of this cyclone until you mentioned it to me. So
yeah,
why was I not aware of that?
I think the international media has a lot to kind of contribute towards that. I think I definitely felt waves of anger sort of during March last year when it was happening, and there was such little media coverage, not just within New Zealand but kind of internationally. Like Cyclone Freddy beat so many records. Like, it was the longest tropical cyclone on record, it was the strongest tropical cyclone on record, and it hit landfall twice. It was going on for like over a month. And I think maybe for New Zealand in particular, like it did occur at the sort of similar time as Cyclone Gabrielle, but it started before Cyclone Gabrielle. Like, F comes before G. Yeah, maybe it's just that within kind of the New Zealand community, there was obviously a lot going on with Cyclone Gabrielle as well. But in many ways, I feel like that should actually increase compassion towards what's going on in another area being affected by a cyclone. But like, not to say it's just New Zealand, but it kind of, from the international media, I think the vibe that I got, which is obviously I'm maybe a bit biased and take things a bit personally when it comes to Malawi and kind of coverage, but it kind of felt like, well, if your home is a mud hut, and having no home really isn't that different. Whereas, you know, the disasters that happen in the, if you've got a $2 million home and you now no longer have it, that's obviously a huge jump from having that to having no home. That's the cynical side of me. But it certainly did feel like, you know, the world's poor don't really matter, because actually their circumstances aren't that different. But a home is still a home, and a home is your protector, is your is where you keep safe, where you grow your family. And so, like, there are still many, many internally displaced people within Malawi that are just living in tarpaulins, particularly in the southern region. But I don't really have an answer other than probably a little bit of cynicism that they've just sort of been ignored because it's Africa and this stuff happens and they're still poor. So, but that makes me quite sad as well from a kind of humanitarian perspective. Over 1,500 people died in Malawi. Like nobody knows about it.
That's shocking. And you mentioned you lost an administrator from the charity, so your charity was directly impacted. But from what you're saying, the charity lives on and it's still going. So despite the kind of double whammy of COVID and then the cyclone, you keep trucking on. You're still going. So what sort of where are you at the moment? What's your goals for the rest of 2024?
Yeah, I think Malawi is made of such resilient people, I think, but they're kind of resilient, like that is their strength, but that's also their weakness, because then kind of these huge sort of global events do sometimes get ignored because of their resilience. So we have kept chugging along, and I think I would love to be at the point where actually Malawi gets to the stage where it no longer needs us as a charity, that there's such improvements in living conditions and things that we won't be needed. But unfortunately, I don't think actually that's ever going to be the case. I think sort of there is always going to need to be scholarship support for people there. And I think, unfortunately, when these huge kind of changes and circumstances happen, I think education becomes the first thing that goes. So if you're now homeless, you're trying to rebuild your life, you're already on a really small salary, like what little you had is going towards your rebuild. Essentially, that's just meant we've had a huge influx of scholarship applications, because poverty, food insecurity, devaluation is kind of so has really impacted the country. So it becomes even more difficult for us to manage, because we have more scholarship applications, but we've still got only the same amount of money. So like we have to try and make it go further and stretch further. So we are chugging along, and things are progressing well. We've got our elective program for medical students, which we launched towards the end of last year, with the aim of hopefully getting between 10 to 20 medical students with us. And that will really help bolster our fundraising. The idea is that with one, after expenses are taken into account, one international medical student will support one Malawian student for one semester with their fee. So if we can get more international medical students through our elective program, then we can start helping more Malawian students through as well. So it's quite exciting, our elective program. I wish there was something similar for when I did my elective, but we're really trying to kind of aim to do things well, and I think we are learning all the time about what that looks like. There's obviously kind of huge ethical issues in relation to having electives in low resource settings, but I feel that we can offer something reciprocal that's well structured in partnership with people on the ground. So yeah, we're quite excited about that.
So that's cool, and I'm sure people listening will know a friend or a family member, or even have somebody who they've met through the clinic, a medical student who's come through their clinics, who might be thinking of an elective in the coming years. And so this is an option of an overseas elective.
Yeah, I hope so.
Somewhere that they are needed and can probably contribute a lot to.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, we've got a lot of layers of support in country. So we can do things as safe as we possibly can. Obviously, any medical elective comes with a little bit of risk, particularly going to a low resource setting. But we feel like we can really offer something unique and reciprocal, and that will be a good experience for medical students.
Excellent. So that's one way that people listening could support your charity, by directing a keen medical student to your website for more information. What other ways can people maybe help get involved with?
Well, we'd always love more sponsors to come forward so that we can help start sponsoring more students. And it's roughly about $2,000 New Zealand per year to support with tuition fees and then allowances and books and laptop and things like that. So actually, it's not, when you think that covers everything, like that's actually quite reasonable, I think. Obviously it's still a huge amount of money, but you can donate like whatever you can afford, so you don't have to don't donate the full 2,000 over the course of 12 months. So having some more regular sponsors would be amazing. Otherwise though, we've got our funky scrub tops that we're doing. So we're getting those made within Malawi as well. So that helps support kind of local businesses and tailors in Malawi. And then we sell them and all the profits go towards our fundraising as well. So it'd be great to get some clinics involved in some bulk orders would be lovely. But even just as individuals, that would be great.
When you say funky, what do you mean?
Describe the funky. Really bright as African coloured patterns and scrub tops. They're not all super bright and colourful. There's some kind of nice undertone ones as well. But they're essentially all different. No one will have a scrub top like yours. They're handmade. All the fabrics change all the time, so we don't have kind of an endless supply of the same pattern. They're super funky. We're quite excited about those. I'd love some more help and support in some other kind of side initiatives that we're getting going. So our graduates in Malawi are putting on a course for international medical students on tropical medicine. So they're just some tutorials that are held over Zoom. But in keeping with that, I'd really like to provide support for the graduates doing those presentations, just by giving them a mentor to help kind of go over their teaching slides. Helping them prepare pre-reading and that type of thing, because they're so fantastically experienced, the graduates, but they're not coming from the perspective of an international medical student. So I think just having that input from somebody not from that country to kind of help them aim the teaching in the right level for international medical students would be helpful. So, and there's lots of other things that I would gladly need help with as well if people want to kind of get involved. One of those things is we have WhatsApp groups. We've got many of those for all of the students, and I'd love to start a clinical case once a week, or an x-ray once a week of sending out an x-ray or sending out a case with some questions just to sort of help engage kind of our community. Anybody who wants to get involved would be fantastic.
And where can people find information? Like, you have a website, Facebook, and this sort of stuff?
We've got a website. So it's just medic2medic.org.nz. There's a contact us page on there, so anyone can get in touch. Generally, that's just me who answers those things. So WhatsApp is also very, very good if people want to get in touch over that. And then we've got our Facebook page as well. So yeah, lots of ways to get in touch.
And that's where they can find the funky tops. And
well, we haven't quite got our website up and running in regards to that, because I think it would be fine if we had like 20 of the same size and the same colour, but they're completely individual. There's like one size and one pattern. So hopefully once we get busier, then we can get a kind of online shop going. But at the moment, it's essentially I can visit some clinics or hospitals or departments. I can do a CPD talk about medical training in Malawi and bring the tops along, and then people can try them on and kind of see what they like. And then
excellent. So essentially, since we last spoke, COVID has not passed. Obviously, it's still evident, but it's maybe the peak of the impact on Malawians has passed. And then it was exchanged by this devastating cyclone that seemingly passed under a lot of radars. And through all of this, you're still raising money and supporting Malawi medical students to train as doctors and to become the next wave of healthcare professionals for a country that needs them.
We're still there, we're still standing.
And you want as much help as people can give, be it through sponsorship or raising money or going to your website or Facebook, and you're running a raffle and
we do some ad hoc stuff from time to time. So we'd love to get busier within New Zealand. We've got like our sister branch in the UK, which is where we started out, but I'd love to get the New Zealand side kind of raising equally as big amounts, and then we can do more, which is great. And we've got the overseas donee status, so we can give the receipts for claiming tax back and things like that. So
excellent. So it's a great example, and one of the reasons I feel this is suitable for this podcast is that you're a fellow of the college, and I think it's important to highlight the things that our fellows do beyond just the work that we do within our clinics. And so I think this is an example of how an urgent care physician can go beyond just the work we do in our clinics. So I congratulate you on your work, commend you on your work. I'm disappointed that I didn't know more about the Malawi situation recently, particularly having spoken to you. But as you say, the news didn't necessarily present it to us. So I'm glad that you've raised that bit of awareness to me and to those people listening. And I wish you the very best going forwards. And I would urge everybody to buy Funky Top or to contribute some way. And so just to clarify, it's Medic to Medic, but that's spelt with a number two, or
medic to medic .org.nz.
And then the Facebook, it's the same.
Just search medic to medic. And we'll come up. Yeah.
And we'll catch up with you again, Tamsin, to find out some updates in the future.
That sounds awesome. Okay. Thank you so much for having me on.
Not a problem. Thank you.